Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The toxic waste trade unevenly inflicts social harm and currently shows no signs of slowing. That's according to Patrika Peters, and she is an adjunct professor at Black Hill State University teaching classes on sustainability in U.S. government. Her lecture is called Global Dumping, Achieving Transactional Justice for the Toxic Waste Trade, and that is Thursday, April 4th at 4 p.m. local time at Jonas 110. It's open to the public. She's joining us now from the Sue W. White studio on the campus of Black Hill State University in Spearfish. Patrika Peters, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Such a fascinating topic. And tell us a little bit about your background in sort of, studying this topic and studying sustainability issues and your work at Black Hill State, please.
Sure. So I have a background in public policy and political science and focus that on environmental justice concerns. And I received a master's degree from Northern Arizona University. And that's really where I started to study this topic more in depth. And that's when I started to get really excited about, well, excited might not be the best word, but aware of what an extreme issue this was and really how little empirical research has been done on the issue to date.
So to put things in context and sort of deal with some of the definitions, when we're talking about, what are we talking about here? Because this is something that's just not on, most people put their garbage and it goes to the dump. And what do they do with their electronics? Tell us for context, what are we talking about?
Right. So hazardous waste is something that is actually really challenging to define, and there isn't a clear international definition of hazardous waste. But when I'm talking about it, or when you're reading about it in the literature, we're talking about any industrial byproduct, especially from the manufacture of chemicals, that is destructive to the environment or dangerous to the health of people or animals. And specifically in my talk, I'm really looking at electronic waste. And it's called, in the literature, it's referred to as WEE, or W-E-E-E, and that's the waste of electrical and electronic equipment. And the way that it is handled is very similar to the way that it is handled, that hazardous waste is handled. And in fact, many of the components of our electronic waste are considered hazardous as well.
So is it coming from consumers? Just to jump in for a minute, like, is it, my iPhone when I'm done with it? Or is it coming the factory itself as the waste that they're producing as they create these things?
Right. So both ends of the spectrum. So you'll see hazardous waste that might be something like the giant ships that are used to transport things across oceans. Those, when they are disposed of, are considered hazardous waste. But it is also things like our televisions, our computers, our iPhones, all the gadgets that we are carrying around with us that are in our homes, that are in our classrooms, in our cars, et cetera. So that's really the kind of individual consumer aspect of this.
So that must have changed, fairly recently, because it didn't used to be that you needed an upgrade for all those devices quite as frequently as we believe that we need them now, or at least as frequently as they are available. How has the situation changed in recent decades?
Yeah, so it was really in the 1980s that we started to see the increase of the toxic waste trade. And I want to be clear on what we're talking about in the trade. So while waste can be traded from industrialized nation to industrialized nation, what we see with hazardous waste is more often a transfer of waste from an industrialized nation to a less industrialized nation, or often what you'll find in the literature is called the global north to the global south. So that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about global dumping, is that movement of waste across national borders, and particularly from those countries that are industrialized to less industrialized. And then what we saw in the 1980s was a huge increase in this trade and what was happening. And that was happening for a handful of reasons. And that can be seen from during that time, we really saw a advance in communication and transportation technology. So suddenly things can move farther, faster. And that's really important when we're thinking about this trade. Before the 1980s, it was a lot more costly to move things as far as we can today. Another thing that was happening during the 1970s is in the global north or in industrialized nations, certainly in the United States, we were seeing an increase in environmental protections in these countries. Now, at the same time, countries in the global south didn't have those same stringent regulations being imposed. So that made it more appealing, suddenly cheaper to dispose of waste in another country. An example that I give in my talk is in the 1980s, it would cost around $250 per ton to dispose of hazardous waste in the U.S. There were parts of Africa during that time and some countries in Africa where the disposal rate was $2.50 per ton. So that's a huge difference, cost differential that we're looking at. And then the last thing that really happened to make it appealing to want to move the waste around was that countries in less industrialized countries found themselves in a lot of debt, started to take out loans with those loans from things like the International Monetary Fund. Those came with a set of conditions, and those conditions were, hey, you need to deregulate your markets. You are not allowed to have protections in order to receive these loans. And so that inhibited less industrialized nations from really having those same kind of environmental protections that we might find here. And lastly, because of the loans, there was this real need in the global south to earn foreign currency to pay back the loans. And so one of the ways that we started seeing in the 80s that countries were earning foreign currency was by selling the right to dump waste in the countries.
Has this, the damage, the potential damage from an agreement that is uneven like that could last for literally centuries? What are we seeing now here in 2019? Are we seeing efforts to change some of those agreements? What's shifting recently, or is it just continually to get progressively, uneven and exploitative?
Yeah, so again, in the 1980s, when we saw that increase in 1989, the main document that there is out there right now that is mitigating the hazardous waste trade is called the Basel Convention. And it was passed in 1989. And what the Basel Convention does is it restricts hazardous waste. So what it doesn't do, and something that we haven't touched on yet, it doesn't control waste that's treated as recyclable. So its goals were to close off the waste trade that caused environmental and human harm. And while it is enforced, the United States hasn't signed on, or it has signed on but has not ratified it. So we in the United States, we're kind of the number one producer of hazardous waste, and we have not ratified this institution. Now, like I just mentioned, the Basel Convention does not control waste that's traded as recyclable. So much of our electronic goods are traded as recyclable. If we think, okay, we're going to go recycle our computer or our iPhone, that's great. It sounds great. What that really means is that it's being sold on the global market, and then those gadgets that we have are being dissected for the valuable components within them. So in 1995, they put an amendment on the Basel Convention called the Basel Ban that targeted that as well. Again, the United States has not signed on to either of those, but those are things that are the Basel Convention is enforced today to help mitigate that that issue.
So as consumers become more aware about where exactly things are coming from and where exactly things are going, are there steps that consumers can take to sort of address toxic trade or toxic dumping that would that would make an impact, or is it a bigger policy conversation?
Yeah, so it's both. It's definitely we as citizens need to demand more transparency, as well as for the United States to sign on to these agreements that exist. But the number one thing, I think that there's two things that consumers can do. And the first thing is to pause and think before purchasing about maybe not purchasing a new gadget or the latest version of whatever. There's a lot of pressure around always having the new thing, and that creates a lot of waste. The next thing that you can do as a consumer is you can find out and interrogate your disposal sites. So people should know that their cell phones should never go into the trash. It is a hazardous waste. Your TVs, your computers, any of your electronics should never go on the side of a curb. That really means that it's likely going to your landfill, and the components that are toxic are leaching into our landfill sites and then getting into our airways and waterways. So the Basal Action Network is a nonprofit organization, and they have a clearinghouse where they list all the different places you can recycle your electronics that have gone through a process of certification to make sure that they're being recycled responsibly. So to make sure that they are not being part of this process. So again, that's the Basal Action Network, and they're at ban.org. They're a great resource for people who want to find out more about what's going on. They have, you know, a lot of up-to-date news stories, but also just I really recommend going to their finder, typing in your zip code, and then you get a listing of different businesses that will take your electronic waste and dispose of it responsibly.
The upcoming Geek Speak lecture is called Global Dumping, Achieving Transnational Justice for the Toxic Waste Trade, presented by Patrika Peters with Black Hills State University. That's Thursday, April 4th, 4 p.m. local time in Jonas 110. It's open to the public, and again, the Basal Action Network, ban.org. Patrika, thank you so much. Come back anytime. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed it.